you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to this broadcast, live or on podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. And we are here for all of your mental health, love, relationship, attachment, and community needs. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B, the number 2, B, P-S-Y-C-H at gmail.com. b2bpsych@gmail.com. As we always say, we'd like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL 88.1 FM for giving us this platform to talk about mental health issues and community issues. But as we always say, any of the questions, comments, suggestions, concerns, or ideas that you hear on this program are not supported by Marshall University or WMUL, not supported by any of their sponsors, affiliates, or supporters, but these are the sole perspectives and ideas and thoughts of myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, as well as Dr. Nate Chapman, and any of the special guests that we may have on any of the panelists. So as we always say, while this may be therapeutic, Dr. Chapman loves to remind us that this is not what, sir?
Not therapy. We do advocate that you get a mental health professional should you need, and we hope that you guys are attaining to your mental wellness. But we are not serving as therapists here. Yes, we are psychologists. But we haven't billed you. There's been no insurance involved, no private pay. And if you sue, you will not get far because we have made the statement. It is known that this is not therapy.
So in true fashion, every week, my brother is always covering his hind parts, as they say. So as we always say, we always start out. We have a very, tonight is going to be, again, week after week, Dr. Chapman has been able to find us some truly special guests, some truly special people, and you will not be disappointed again tonight. We are joined by a very special brother, Mr. Rodney Carrico. He is a veteran. He is a motivational speaker. He is a jack of all trades, and he is going to bless us and enlighten us, and he's going to drop jewels on us with his perspective on greatness. We're still continuing our series on greatness, trying to tap into and trying to find commonalities amongst those who have achieved things in their life. You know, what does it mean to be great? Is it something that you're born with? Is it something that can be taught? And most importantly, what are there common threads that we can pull together? Okay. But before we always start, as we always do, we always start with a mental health, mental wellness check. How are you, brothers? How are you doing? How's everybody doing tonight?
Oh,
can't hear you. Well, how are you? Well, our guest is getting his audio together a little bit. What you got for us, Nate Chapman? How is sunny California treating you?
As you would expect. But it's September, so it's getting a little bit more chilly, but good overall.
I can't stand you. I can't stand you. You know, there is something called humility. You know, and Dr. Chapman, for whatever reason, When the sweet brown baby Jesus passed out all these characteristics, somehow he forgot to give Dr. Chapman humility. He likes to rub it in our face that he lives in sunny California and the rest of us freezing. But that's fine. You know, that's okay. We understand. You have shot to the top of our prayer list, sir. Brother Rodney, how you doing, sir? How you doing today?
Doing great. I'm doing great. You can hear me well?
Yes, yes. We got you, my brother. We got you.
I'm doing great.
Good deal. We are glad to have you. It is it's a blessing. It's an honor. It's a pleasure to have you that you can just give us some insight, drop some jewels on us on what you think about greatness, you know, achievement, and what it takes to be great and everything else in between. So I will hand it over to Dr. Chapman. He'll introduce you and we'll rock and roll for the evening.
All right, we are blessed to have Mr. Rodney Carroll with us. This is a childhood friend, a basketball teammate, also happens to be a fellow veteran, served almost 13 years in the Navy. I consider him on the way to greatness in his journey. I know there's a lot of things he's aspiring to do, considering speaking, writing. I know that he has a website, it's justcombo.com, that you guys can check out. So we'll start out the panel. If Rodney, if you could just tell us, Ernie, where you're at now in life, just kind of like your post and how you got there.
All right, and thank you both for having me on. Me and Nate, we go back. We went to school together, so you know what I'm saying. It's great, and I'm very proud to see how far you've come from. You know, the days of running suicides with Mr. Kovex.
Yeah.
And real quick, you're gonna have to give us the tea, because if you let Nate tell the story, you let Dr. Chapman tell us the story. He was Jesus Shuttlesworth. So if Dr. Chapman tell us the story, you know, he forewent the NBA, you know, to pursue other pastors because, you know, he was just too good. He didn't know what would happen if he, you know, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. It's about you right now. But before we leave, we might have to have you back for a part two, okay?
Oh, man, yeah, look, I got stories for days. I got stories for days. But as far as where I'm at in my life right now, like it was stated before, you know, I've did near about 13 years in the Navy, and my wife is still currently active duty Navy officer. My son currently is in boot camp in the Navy. He'll be graduating October 22nd. So it's kind of like everything came full circle. I started going when I went into the military. It was kind of one of those things where, like, I'm not going to sit up here and say that I joined to further this country or anything like that. I'm not going to say nothing like that. I don't have one of those type of stories. It was one of those things to where, you know, we all come to that point in life to where we just like, what is it that I'm going to do?
Yeah.
I knew that, you know, I didn't want to go down a path that I saw so many others go down. And Nate can attest, a lot of people that, you know, we went to school with went down those paths, right? And I just knew that wasn't for me. I knew at the time I had already started school mature enough, you know, to be honest, to go that route. And the next best thing, you know, I looked up and I was just like, let me join this military for 4 years, get it out the way. 4 years turned into, you know, almost 13. I met my wife there. But one of the greatest things that happened to me was I got stationed overseas in Japan. Okay. And that was my first duty station. And the crazy thing is, you know, they tell you that you have like three options, you know what I'm saying, or like where you would like to go. And Japan was not on my list. I did not want to leave the country. I wanted to stay as close to home as I could go. And I got sent to Japan, and Japan, I always say, made me a man. You know, like it's something about going out far away from home, so far away from home that you can't pick up the phone and somebody can come to you and help you out. Yeah. And I'm a firm believer that, you know, especially as you know, black men, we have to stuff like that. Now it might not be for the next person going overseas or this, that, and the other, but I'm a firm believer in you have to leave that nest. Yeah. And leaving the nest isn't always physical. Leaving the nest can be mental. Yeah. You know, like if you can be where you're at, but still leave from up here. And so I went there, and it's crazy. You know, I don't want to get, you know, too religious or whatever, right? But I'm a very religious person. And I remember going to Japan, and I thought, like, okay, I'm out of my comfort zone. And my grandfather's a bishop, actually a retired bishop. And I remember going to Japan, and I was just like, I know that there's no, you know, black churches out here in Japan, right? Like, I know it. But would behold, I hit the ship, and there was an officer there who was a pastor. And, you know, so it was like God was with me throughout all, you know what I'm saying, my journey. And I think that even if you're not religious, you have to believe in something. You know what I mean? Like you have to believe in something. And I saw the topic of, you know, just greatness. And I think that, you know, in today's society, so many people get that word great, you know, mistaken, because greatness is not just one, you know what I'm saying, specific thing.
Yeah.
You know, like, A lot of younger people, and, you know, and I talk to so many younger people, and I've been around the world.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think greatness is being able to score 40 points a game.
Yeah.
Some people might think, you know, greatness is being able to sing and make millions of dollars, right? But as we have been seeing lately, those people that were considered quote unquote great, dying from overdose.
Yeah,
going crazy. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I think that that word greatness, I think that what we have to do, especially as you two doctors, like, you know what I'm saying, you guys have more experience than me, but I think that we have to change the mentality of what greatness actually is.
Yeah,
greatness is, you know, like I tell people all the time, right? They say, hey, I want to have a business. I want to go my own route, right? Okay, well, that's great. But that might not be your thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might not be your thing, but you working that job that you're at to the best of your ability is a form of greatness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that when we talk about greatness, I think that is the root of it. We have to normalize, because everybody wants to be a boss. Nobody wants to be a worker. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to be a worker. But I think that the key to greatness is finding out what you're quote unquote great at. And I think one of the ways that I found for myself was, I think we all have that thing inside of us that keeps us up at night, right? It's like I always attribute it to it. I've never had a baby, you know what I'm saying? I'm a man.
Yeah.
But watching my wife go through, you know what I'm saying, the pregnancies, right? And it comes a point in time to this human being is inside of the woman. And once it's getting close to that due date, you start having all of the problems. You can't sleep at night, you know, this, that, and other, because this child is trying to be birthed into the world. And I think when we're trying to find what we're great at, I think it's kind of like the same type of thing, right? Like, you're going to bed, you can't sleep at night, because there's something inside of you that needs to be birthed into the world. And I think that when you have that, and it could be anything, it could be you wanting to become an author, right? And because you're not allowing this process to be birthed, and it might be because you talk to your circle of friends and they say, authors don't make any money. Or, you know, you have this far out idea and they say, oh, that's stupid. Or, you know, you're trying to get your podcast off the ground, but there's millions of podcasts, right? So you hold it inside. But that gift that's inside of you has to be birthed to the world, and that's what causes you to not be able to clap for the next person. You know what I mean? Like, that's what causes you to think that word greatness. We have to find a way, especially for this younger generation, we have to find a way to dissect that word to make it seem more, you know what I'm saying, like, obtainable, as you know what I'm saying, to put.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, go ahead.
No, yeah, I like that analogy about giving birth. I think a lot of times, even though we're all men, we can't really understand birth in terms of, like, the way that the female does. But we see it. We know what's going on. We know that's something we don't really want to do. But also, you know, there are some things that happen with it And one of the reasons I decided to invite you on, Rodney, is because I feel like you're pregnant and I can see it. I feel like I can see the baby kicking out and feet coming out. And I thought it would be good for the listeners to hear where you're at with your process and also get the benefit of saying, look, you know, we showed you first.
So remember us when you make it to the top. You remember who put you on.
Hey, I'm always. Always. I would say to describe my process now where I'm at, if we are talking about pregnancy, and to all the women out there, we are not saying that we know that, you know, we're saying that. But if to make it, you know what I'm saying, somewhat similar, I would say that I'm probably in the 6 month stage. Yeah. And I say that because I went through that initial stage of being happy for finding out what I think that I'm supposed to do in this life. And once you get past that initial happy and you get the congratulations and you know that you're, hey, this is me, this, that, and the other, then you hit that stage to where nobody's congratulating you anymore. You hit that stage to where, okay, now the rubber must meet the road. And I find myself in that situation now because I've done a lot of starting and stopping. And I know a lot of people out there, you know, can relate to that, to where you have the idea. And I think, you know, some of the missteps that I've taken many times is I had the idea, I had the game plan to start. But the thing that I, you know, and I regret was that I always looked to who I thought was going to be. And I think that I'm in the 6 month stage now because it's like I have a better idea of it doesn't matter who is supporting right now. You got to support yourself first because, you know, I always say if you own a restaurant and I come to your restaurant and you're eating McDonald's, I don't know if I want to eat in your restaurant, right? Because you have a restaurant, but you're going out getting food, bringing it in. So how can I trust you and your food if you're not eating it? And I think that for me has been probably the biggest struggle because a lot of us, we think in our head, okay, you look at somebody else's journey, right? Like let's say a Steve Harvey, right? You look at a Steve Harvey journey and you say, oh man, you know, he's doing this, that, and other, but we don't take into consideration the years that it took. You know, like, so for me, I would look at everybody else that's trying to get the podcast, trying to be a best-selling author, right? And I would look at that, and they're in the ninth inning, I'm in the third inning, right? Yeah. And I'm trying to compare myself. And I think that for most people, once you get over that hurdle, I think that you're more on the longer way because a lot of people won't get over that hurdle because it's not their dream. It's not they're not on the path to their greatness. We look at a YouTuber who's making millions of dollars, right? And so you jump and you start a YouTube channel because you want to make millions of dollars. But you don't understand that that person that makes $1 million, they might not be able to look at themselves in the mirror because what they had to do to get that $1 million. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, I think the 6 month process or the 6 month journey in birthing to whatever is going to get birth into the world, I think that is the most critical time because now you've gotten over the congratulations. You've gotten to the stage to where people are now looking at you, asking you, when are you due? You know what I mean? Like, you've been pregnant forever. Right? Like, you know, you know what I mean? I'm in the stage now because people are looking at me and they're saying, well, hey, you know, I thought you would be here and there and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. And so in my journey, what I had to do is I had to really, you know, evaluate myself. And I had to stop putting my success on how many people were clapping for me. Because, you know, as we see, you know, like I'm a you know, I'm a sports fan, right? And I can remember when Steph Curry, when his journey, he was the underdog. Once he got to that point to where they're like, man, this is the best shooter in the NBA. Oh my gosh, like he is amazing, right? And then everybody started critiquing. Started talking about his wife. Started talking about everything else, right? Because I think that most humans have this thing of we put a ceiling on people. So, like, and I always tell people, like, if I came to you guys, right, if you guys were, we dealt with each other every day, right, and I came to you and I said, hey, you know, I got a job at Walmart. You know, you guys would, oh, man, that's amazing, man. We're so happy for you. Okay, you know, 7-8 months later, I say, hey, guess what? I'm assistant manager. Oh, man, congratulations, this, that, and the other, blah, 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 blah. Okay, a couple months go by. Hey, guess what? I'm manager. Okay, now those claps aren't so loud, right? Because they're like, well, hold on now. Like, you manager? Man, like I, because I know you. You know what I'm saying? Like, how can you be manager?
Yeah.
And that next stage is, I'm going to get my own business. And I'm going to take what I learned from this corporation and start my own. And then there's no claps. Because now we have surpassed what, you know what I'm saying? I have surpassed what you guys thought that I should be surpassing.
Yeah.
And I think that in this level of greatness, when you're trying to get to greatness, you got to watch who you have around you. And you have to be comfortable being alone. And, you know, I know from being in the military, being out there, out to sea, and it's just you. You know what I mean? A lot of people can't stand just being by themselves. Because you can front to everybody else. You can put on all the jewelry. You can put all the fake smiles on while you have a group of people. And that's why there's so many people in relationships, simply because they don't want to be by themselves.
Yeah.
Because when you're by yourself, it's a hard pill to swallow. I've been out there months at a time on the water. Can't see your hand in front of your face at night. And that's when you really start to learn yourself and say, do I even really like myself? So when that question is asked on what stage of my greatness, I'm about in the 6 months, because I've gotten over that hurdle. Now I'm at that place right now to where, you know, it's third, it's the end of the third, we're going into the fourth quarter. You know what I'm saying? It's a tight ball game. And my jumper is, you know what I'm saying, I'm in the zone. I'm in that phase. So I think that now what I'm trying to learn is what's going to take me to deliver this greatness into the world. And I think part of it is, you know, 3 months ago, I probably never would have taken this right here. And it would have been simply because I felt like I didn't have much to offer.
Yeah.
And it's crazy to think that, right? But it's like, you know, like when you're the man in your neighborhood, and you know what I'm saying? Or better yet, and I know, Nate, I know you can identify when I say this example, right? When you're in, because we all know them, but when you're in junior high, and you have those people in junior high who's the tallest, they're the fastest, they're the strongest, they're the most popular, mm-hmm. Then you move to ninth grade. Ninth grade is starting to kind of level out a little bit, you know, Then you go to junior year, you start looking at those people, and you're like, you're not even that big. Like I thought you were a giant, but it's like, you're not that fast, and you're not that strong. And I don't really care about the popularity. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think that for me, it's like, I'm right there. Yeah. I'm right there, and it's just, I'm trying to get over.
I got a quick question. So, uh-huh. And something you said made me think about this. So, it made me think about my daughter. My daughter is in school. She's pre-med. Mm-hmm. She's doing very well, provided nothing bad mm-hmm. happens. She has the ability to, she'll get to med school. So, she comes uh-huh. to me and she goes, I'm really interested in film. But ain't no money in it. And you said that and it made me think about it. And I told her, my philosophy is that I told her that God and the universe don't give you dreams that you're not supposed to chase.
Exactly.
And I left it at that. And I said, you need to meditate on it. I said, if it's biting at you and it's irking at you and it's irking at you, I truly don't believe that God in the universe puts dreams in you that you're not supposed to chase on to some degree. Now, maybe she's not supposed to throw med school away over it. Maybe she is, but she has to figure that out. But if it's in you, right, you need to pursue it. So my question for right. you is, do mm-hmm. you remember the point that you said, I'm about to chase this thing? Whatever it is, was it always in you or was it nagging you? And at some point you was like, man, forget this safety. I'm not going to do the safe thing. I'm going to take a chance. Do you remember the moment that you was like, whatever this thing, whatever my thing is, I'm about to chase this and see what happens?
Yeah, I honestly, so the first part of that, first of all, I want to commend you for even, you know, talking to your daughter like that, because I think that especially in our communities, we kill dreams.
Yeah.
Now, if you might think you're a singer and you can't hit a note, right? But your gift might be writing the music.
Yeah.
And I think that in our community, instead of putting it like that, we kill dreams. Now, you could have easily said, hey, now listen, you know, no, that's dumb. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then she might go on to fulfill all those dreams that, you know, you feel that she should, you know what I'm saying, do, but she might not never be happy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now, that's not saying she's going to throw it away, but it's something about someone having your back. And it's nothing like a father having your back.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I grew up, my grandparents raised me. And so I grew up in the type of environment that they pretty much told me that I can do whatever I wanted to do. As far as if I wanted to achieve it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And I think for myself, it was, people were constantly telling me things, right? Like, so I already, in my heart, I already felt like, you know, like now I still work government, but I always felt like my destiny was to be doing outreach, to write the books, to do, you know, I always felt that. But every level of my life, I was always in situations to where other people were telling me, like, man, you should be doing this, right? And it all fell in line to what I felt that I was supposed to be doing.
Let me stop you real quick. We got to give a very quick station identification. Station identification, this is Marshall University, WMUL 88.1 FM, and you are listening to, as always, Wednesdays at 9, Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman, Dr. Keelan Henson, and we have a very, very special guest, Mr. Rotten Cairo, and he's giving us, again, he's a veteran, he's an author, he's a motivational speaker, and he's dropping jewels and giving us his perspective on greatness, how to get there, and what was his formula. Okay, my brother, I'm sorry. Keep moving forward. My apologies. Yeah. We have to do it every 20 minutes or so.
Oh, no, it's okay. Yeah, so, and I think what happens is that, like I was saying earlier, we all have that thing in us, right? And just like you said with your daughter with film. Well, guess what? At 7 years old, that could have been in her.
Yeah.
But I think what happens is we don't have, or at least in our time frame, you know, back in the day, we didn't really have many examples of those things that veered off course. So I think once I went to the military and I was around all types of walks of life, I was seeing, you know, from the Middle East and this, that, and the other, right? And I can pinpoint the time to where I said, you know what? This is what I should be doing. And I'll never forget it. It was, we were out to sea. I was in the rack. And then, you know, when you out there on that water, sometimes it's just going tossing and turning and, you know, all sorts of stuff. And as we were tossing and turning, I was just thinking to myself, like, this is not for me. Like this, you know, I loved my time in the military.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But I was just like, this ain't for me. Like, I'm tired. I had to put on shower shoes just to walk in. You know what I mean? Like, I had just reached that point to where I knew. Now, luckily, during this time frame, we start to see more examples that look like us.
Yeah.
We start to see, you know, more of people, you know, coming out like that. But the other problem was, and I'm just saying, you know, I'm not trying to say all, but in our communities, I think we have, or a lot of people have that notion that it can only be one.
Yeah.
Or it can only be three tops. So after I start seeing more examples, then I ran into the point to where it was like, okay, well, we already got three in this position. You know what I mean? Like, we can't, you know what I'm saying? Like, we can't, hey, too many of us, you know what I'm saying? So I was in that, and then it was just like, I let it go for a while, started back, but it was just something that just kept me up at night. It really did. Like, it would keep me up at night, or I find myself listening to a podcast, and, you know, like for your daughter, I'm just using her as an example. If she's really into film, she probably doesn't watch movies like we do.
Yeah.
We're watching a movie and we're like, oh man, this is great. Well, if what's inside of her that has to be birthed into the world, she's looking at it from every aspect.
Yeah.
She's looking at it from, okay, this camera angle, okay, this storyline, how is the arcing of this story? She's looking at it from all types of angles that we're not.
Yeah.
So I think that once I got to that point, I was just like, you know what? I'm supposed to be doing more.
Yeah.
Now, what that, how you, you know, formulate that, because I didn't have nobody like you were there for her. I didn't have nobody like that, but I didn't have nobody like that. Not that they didn't want to, but they didn't know how.
Gotcha.
And what you provided, you know, what you provided for your daughter, sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's all it takes is somebody to say, hey, I don't understand it. I can't even guide you in the way to do it, but I know that you can do it.
Yeah.
And I think if we have more of that type of dialogue, if we have more of that type of, instead of like shutting you down from the top because I can't understand it. And that's why they always say you can't always lay onto people your plans, because your plans might be bigger than what they, you know what I'm saying, can even imagine. And it's not their fault. Everybody that, when I started to do the podcast, when I wrote, you know what I'm saying, the ebook, when I did all of that, my first initial thing was, I'm gonna remember everybody that's not supporting. Like that was my first thought, yeah. Right? But I started thinking, right, and I'm like, see, when you start thinking like that, you're doing it for the wrong reason anyway. Because what's for you is for you, and who it's supposed to reach is going to reach.
Yeah.
So what I start doing, I start looking at my circle, and you know, and it's hard. It's hard when you're doing something and you might go to Facebook and people are saying, hey, you know, go buy Steve Harvey's new book. And I'm like, you don't even know him.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know him, right? But what I start understanding is that when you're familiar with people, it doesn't have that same ring, right? So whatever you're going to do in life, your biggest support is going to come from a stranger.
Yeah.
And the people, and that doesn't mean that you throw away the people around you who don't understand that vision, because what you have to understand is it's your vision. It's your goal. It's not their job to understand.
Yeah.
It's not. And so many people, right, like in colleges right now, there's somebody in college right now that started school, just like you said, with your daughter. Somebody out there is going to school for accounting. They hate accounting. They hate it,
yeah.
Right? But their father was an accountant, their grandfather was an accountant, and it was just something that they felt that they had to do.
Yeah.
So they're at the point in time right now, they're at their junior year. They cannot picture themselves finishing up and going on to be an accountant. They can't see themselves doing it, right? But they have nobody else around them that can tell them or impart into them and say, hey, listen, I'm not saying give up on being an accountant right now. But what I am saying is don't stop dreaming.
Yeah.
Because you graduate, you get that accounting degree, your first client might be the person that steers you in the way that you're trying to go. And I think we need to have more of that dialogue of, just like you told your daughter, you left it to her, but you also instilled into her, I'm still here for you though.
Yeah.
This is the decision that you have to make, but I'm still here. And once we start doing that as communities, that, and this is on so many different levels, You have, let's take marriage. We have the movement of people saying, hey, you don't have to get married and this, that, and other. And that's fine. That's fine. But if you're the type of person that wants to get married, but you got all of these people saying don't, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the other, it creates all sorts of turmoil. Yeah. When we can just say, hey, you don't have to if you don't want to, but if you do, here's some keys that made my marriage work.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be a doctor, but if you do choose to, here's what I did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think that for me, I started to understand that I had to stop thinking locally and start thinking globally.
Wow.
I had to really like elevate myself to say, you know what? I know 20 people. Out of these 20 people, let's just be honest, they can't do nothing for me. I still love them to death. You know what I'm saying? They have served their purpose in this season because I live my life through seasons. And that's why, you know, a lot of people, they never progress because the people that they had in their life for those seasons, they have never moved forward because they're still stuck holding on to those people.
Yeah.
And letting go of people don't mean that we're not cool no more. It just means that you have served your purpose for this stage in my life. Like a video game. You get to every level, you got to beat that boss. Once you beat that boss, you go on. You know what I mean? Like you go on. There's cheat codes. There's all types of things that you can do it, right? But let's just say you use a cheat code, you beat the game, but you don't beat the game. Because now you're like, I can't even identify with anybody else who beat the game because I cheated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I beat it, you know what I'm saying? But I cheated.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I hope I'm not talking too much, but I just think that we're at the phase of our lives, right, where the pandemic has shown us that in this life, nothing's promised.
Yeah.
Nothing is promised. You know, me and Nate, we've lost Nate. I don't even know if you're still in tune, but we've lost several people from where we went to high school with, right? And I'm pretty sure nobody wakes up in the morning saying, this is my last day. You know what I'm saying? There's no do-over in this life. And I live my life. I look at someone else doing something. I don't hate on them, but I just think, well, why can't I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why can't I?
Right. There's a couple things I want to highlight really quick just so for our viewers to ponder on that you said. One had to do with this idea of not just being aware of who's in your circle, but recognizing that even if you're not getting support from within, that doesn't mean support won't come. This whole global perspective now.
Yeah.
You're the godly man, so you know the whole quote about Jesus and the whole idea that he wasn't as accepted in his own town. And I think sometimes realizing that can help you because when you grow this kind of disdain or hate for people not supporting you, they might just can't see it yet. And it also might be that whatever your gift is not for them anyways. So when you're willing to go out and spread out and be in these different places, then it's going to sprinkle to the people that really need it. And then maybe you'll be able to see the support. Just because it's not support doesn't mean they are against you. It's just that our mind can go there. And so that being said, I'm wondering if you were going to define greatness, if you were going to give it Rodney Carroll definition, how would you define it? And then who would you consider to be great?
Oh, man. That's a... oof. Well, let me start with the latter. Who I would perceive to be great, I would have to say my grandfather. And I would say my grandfather because my grandfather, he was in the Navy as well, but he only did 4 years. That was back in the day. And for that 4 years that he went, he didn't use any of his paycheck money, right? Because he had a goal in mind, build his house from the ground up, you know what I'm saying, take care of his family and this, that, and other. He went in there with that goal. He wasn't college educated or anything like that. He just went in there with that goal. And he completed that goal. But not only did he complete that goal, I grew up in a house where I've never seen my grandparents argue. Not one time. Never seen it. Never seen voices raised. I never seen anything like that, right? Like, I just never seen it. Not to say that maybe they didn't do the closed doors, but I never saw it. Mm-hmm. And never heard a cuss word come out of his mouth. Never heard. It was so irritating sometimes that where I could come to my grandfather and I could be so mad, right? Like, I just want to, you know, like, this was back in my younger days. I just wanted to punch somebody in their mouth, right? Like, somebody had done something to me. And my grandfather would just look at me, and he would always just be like, well, you know right from wrong. And it's like little words, like, I didn't understand it, right? I didn't understand it, and I always felt like he was harder on me than everybody else. So I grew up in a house, it was, you know, 10 of us in there, you know what I'm saying, a lot of the times, right? Like, cousins, right? And I always felt like he was always so hard on me, right? Like, just so hard. I'm like, what? Like, what is going on? Like, I mean, you know, we had foster kids. We had everybody. But I just felt like he was hard on me. And then once I got to Japan, and I remember I called him, and I just wanted to get it out. I just wanted to be like, man, you know, like, I don't understand why. And he told me, he said, because I never had to worry about you. I knew that you would be all right. And then, it's just like little things like that, that greatness, and why I would consider him greatness, was because he provided the lane for all of us.
Yeah.
He watered the grass. He tended to the garden. He gave us an opportunity to grow. Now, whether all of us took it or not, that's another story.
Yeah.
But he provided that opportunity. And for myself, I look at that as being great because he didn't have to.
Yeah.
He could have did the bare minimum. Like, I wasn't his child. I'm just his grandson. He took the time. He took the time to where I remember those days where I just didn't even pray for myself. And I didn't pray for myself because I knew he was praying. So there's something about going into the world knowing that somebody's praying for you and you feel like they have that direct line to God. See, the way I was living my life, I thought maybe sometimes God might put me on hold. You know what I'm saying? Like, I might call today and he might be like, look, I'll get to you some other time. But I knew that he was praying for me. So his greatness didn't have anything to do with money. It didn't have anything to do with any of that. He never missed a basketball game. And Nate, I know you can attest, seeing my grandfather sitting in the stands, right? He never missed a basketball game. He was always there. So when I got married and I had my kids, the things that he instilled to me,
yeah,
it just trickled down. I never sleep past 5 a.m. And this was before the military. I would go grocery shopping. I'm going to hit like 6 or 7 stores. And my wife would be like, what takes you so long? But it's because of what I saw.
Yeah.
So his grace was instilled into me and I passed it along. Now, my definition of greatness would have to be first learning what it is that must be birthed into the world. Because I think that God puts into all of us something that's going to help society.
Yeah.
It might be a simple, you know, you going into work every day smiling, saying hello to your colleagues, saying, you know what I'm saying, because we don't know what somebody's going through, but your testimony is going to be something that saves somebody else's life.
Yeah.
You know, so I think once you grab a hold of, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, I think that that's greatness on a certain level in its own right, because there's some 70-year-old people out there that worked for 68 years, and in their mind they said, okay, once I retire, I'm going to take trips. But then guess what? COVID happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Nobody's taking trips, right? So now they're sitting back, and there's some people that's like, I wasted my life. But then there's also some people that realize that I'm put on this earth to be the best chef in the world. I'm put on this earth to be the best hairdresser in the world. I'm put on this earth to be the best store manager at Target in the world. Now, to me, that dream might be aiming low, but I don't know your story. I don't know where you came from. So you're great in your own right. Nate, I can attest to you because, like I said, we came up together. Now, never in a million years would I be sitting here, Dr. Chapman, right? I don't even know if you maybe even thought, you know, back in those days, you know what I'm saying? Like, you might not even thought it, right? But you're walking into your destiny, but you walking into your destiny has people like me that know you, that has seen that journey, that I'm sitting back and I'm like, okay, I can do it. I can't do what you're doing, but if you can do it, I can do it.
Yeah.
And I believe that that's a form of greatness. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe you on this radio show right now, right? Like, right now, to somebody else, it might not be power 106, you know what I'm saying? Whatever the case may be, right? But you do this every day. You come up with your show ideas. You come up with, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and the other. And guess what? That one person who might have woke up this morning who had no desire to live, they were just wandering aimlessly, heard something on this conversation that might give them an example, that's a form of greatness. So I think greatness is finding out what you're put on this earth to do and actually doing it.
Yeah.
Actually finding a way to do it. I think that's greatness.
Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah. A lot of respect there, man. I'm like, I'm just processing all of that. Now, all of what you said and then just, you know, how you included us in it. It's very encouraging, you know, just, you know, radio work is it's work and it requires some thought and, you know, even putting things together. So, and then just because we have that childhood history, you know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say a tear is coming, but I'm just saying, I feel it, brother. That's all.
I'm telling you, it's the truth. And sometimes we have to sit back. And I think we have to do this more, right? Sometimes we got to sit back and we got to pat our own selves on the back. You know what I'm saying? Because we deal with so much in the world now. We can turn on any news channel right now. There's so much stuff that's going on in the world, right? So these bright spots and these bright conversations, this means the world to not only you, but to that one person that just needed a pick-me-up. Now, you're in California. You know, I was stationed in California. I was out there for 9 years. You know what I'm saying? So the time difference in this, that, and the other, right? Somebody is going through something right now. And, you know, when we're going through something, we feel like some of the people that give the best advice are going through the worst time. Yeah. They can't figure it out for themselves, right? Yeah. Like, they can't figure it out for themselves, but they can help everybody else. Because helping everybody else is what gives them strength, right? Like, it's what gives them strength. So when I'm having a bad day or if I'm going through something, I make it my duty to find somebody that I can pour into, right? Like, that I can pour into, because everybody has to find that thing that keeps them going. My son, he's in boot camp right now. And, you know, I didn't necessarily want him to go to the military. Like, he was on his way to Norfolk State. And the pandemic happened. And he was just like, I am so tired. Like, I just want to go. And I found myself, like, trying to talk him out of it at first, right? And then I was just like, you know what? You do, you know what I'm saying, whatever you want to do. You know, I just believe in, you know, you put your all into it. And so my wife, you know, she would tell him about what, you know, what she experienced in boot camp and how it's going to be. But I never said much. And my reasoning for never saying much was, if I tell you my experience, you're going to take that in and you're going to adopt it. And when it doesn't happen the way it happened for me, it's going to mess you up. So I never said anything. And I would just give him little pointers. I would say, hey, listen, you might need to, you know, work on your listening skills and this, that, and the other. Because I knew. And, you know, that first call home, he's telling me, Dad, you know, I wish I would have listened. You was right and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. And I was happy because now I can pour into you to say, okay, listen, I had those same concerns. I had those same problems. But here's how you get over. And me pouring into him made my workday go that much better because I felt like I mattered. Yeah. I felt like I mattered. And I believe that in everything that we do, you know what I'm saying, as men, the moment that you feel that it don't matter, like I tell my wife sometimes, right, like I might not be the, our roles are different, right? Like I'm not one of those guys who can put together a workbench. That just never been me. I'll bring the stuff in. I'll do all the heavy lifting. I'll do all of that. But she likes just the thought process of putting stuff together, right? Just putting stuff together. And I remember this one day, I forgot what it was, and I was just like, you know what? I'm going to do it today. Right? Like, I'm going to do it. Now, I know this is out of my wheelhouse, right? But I'm going to do it. Well, it didn't turn out great. And, you know, she came in and she looked at it, right? And her first initial thing, right, because this is her wheelhouse, was like, well, that ain't supposed to be like that. And this ain't supposed to be, you know, this, that, and other, right? And it hurt, right? It hurt me. But then I took a step back and I'm like, am I hurt because she didn't appreciate it? Or am I hurt because I knew I shouldn't be doing this, right? Like, I knew this was outside of my wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And I still expected, I'm saying something else, right? And I was like sitting there, I'm just like, man, you know, whatever. But then later that day, he came to me and was just like, hey, man, thanks for even trying. I know you don't like that. And then boom, my levels went back up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think that for us as men, these conversations, and not just saying men, but I think for us as men, we have to get to a point to where we're able to have these conversations that we're vulnerable.
Yeah.
Where, you know, because like you said, with your daughter, I have a daughter, and my daughter, she'll be 16 Monday. And my thing is, I always try to instill in my daughter that I want you to be the strongest woman that there is. I don't want you to have to need a man for nothing, but I want you to appreciate what a man is supposed to bring to you.
Yeah.
And in, or you know what I'm saying, for that to happen, I got to be that man.
Yeah.
I have to be that example. You know what I'm saying? This, that, and the other. And I think with that, it comes, you have to learn how to be vulnerable. You have to learn how to, you know what I'm saying, do all of those things. So I commend the both of y'all for what y'all work. First of all, I am on the line with two doctors. And I'm going to be honest. Out of my life, I'm pretty sure I've came across many doctors, right? But I can't say that, you know what I mean? Like, I know. I work with PhDs and this, that, and the other, right? But I'm sitting with two brothers that are, you know what I mean? So that right there, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, if nobody else told y'all, I'm telling y'all, that's amazing. That is truly amazing.
Appreciate that, definitely, my brother. That is,
yeah.
You are, and you've said a lot of dope and poignant things tonight. But what really just hit me in the stomach and in the chest was when you said, the idea that you realize, I can't just tell my kids, particularly my daughter, I just can't tell her I got to walk the walk. And how many, again, amongst our people, how many times have we all heard, do as I say, not as I do?
Man, that is the worst. That is one of the worst things that I think in our community, that it's that and what goes on in this house stays in this house. Two of the things that we were raised upon, yeah, that now when you look at society and you look at all of the things that has happened, it's because of those two things.
Yeah.
You do it. I said, hey, you don't need to be out there drinking and smoking, but every Friday there's a party at the house and they're drinking and smoking.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, what I'm saying? Like you as a man is trying to instill in your daughter, hey, you don't need to be going with these little nappy-headed boys and this, that, and the other. They all dirty and this, that, and the other, right?
Yeah.
But this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like this is what you're doing. So now we have a society that is being raised off of music. See, a lot of times, we don't want to take accountability, right? So we say stuff like, look at the programming in TV. Look at the program. Look at what they're doing to our kids. When I was growing up, I can honestly say, the Cosby's came on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Like, we all watched that. I was sneaking watching Martin and stuff like that, right? Like, I was doing that on my own,
yeah,
right? I was doing that on my own. But now, there's no accountability. And that starts within the home, and especially with daughters. I look at my daughter every day, And I look at, she's a beautiful girl. And sometimes people come up to me and they always say like, oh, you know, you're going to be driving these boys crazy. And I said, see, it starts like that.
Yeah.
Because that shouldn't even come to your forefront.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it shouldn't even come to your forefront, but it is. And this is where we are now. But I know that the walk that I'm walking, if she does veer off course, it is my job to get her back on course.
Yeah.
But I can get her back on course, and I can't be saying it's something that I caused. Because life happens. My grandfather, he lived the righteous life, and Lord knows I was jumping through all sorts of hurdles. You know what I mean? But I had the example, and I knew every time I went left,
yeah,
it was something inside of me that told me, I know I ain't doing right. You know what I mean? Like, I know that I'm not doing right. So much so that when you come in front of the people that you respect the most, you feel weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you feel like, I can't look you in the eye. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, for me, I just think that instead of, like, I always, and my wife, she hates this about me sometimes, but, like, I'm never the type of person that finds the wrong in a situation. Like, you know, she might say, oh, man, I had a bad day at work, and, you know what I'm saying, this, that, and other. And sometimes she thinks that it's because I'm nonchalant, but I always tell her, I'm like, man, somebody out there wants your bad day. Like, your problem, somebody wants that problem. And until you really appreciate what you have, there can be no more blessings. A lot of times we're stuck in a rut because we have everything that we prayed for.
Yeah.
And I think that instead of, you know, like I grew up and they say pray, you know, this, that, and the other, right? But sometimes there's no instructions with what to pray for. You can be at home and you can pray, I want to get my doctorate, right? But you get the doctorate, right? But now you're like, I don't know what else to do. Yeah. Or you can be praying, say like, oh, Lord, I want a new car. Right. But in order to get that new car, the car that you have has to break down five times. You don't know how you're going to get it fixed. Now you're catching the bus. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like you're going to get to that new car, but you got to go through this. Right. Yeah. So I always tell any and everybody, when you're saying the prayers of what you want, you have to be detailed.
Yeah.
You have to have detail, because if not, if you just pray and say, God, I just want to be happy, and now you've lost every friend that you've ever had. You know what I mean? Like, now you have no friend, and you're sitting up here like, I ain't got no friends. Okay, well, you prayed to be happy. Those friends were keeping you not happy.
Yeah.
So now you're sitting here. You have nothing else to worry about. You pray that you want to get married. So you get married, but you didn't pray to say, how can I stay married? How can I stay married? You know what I'm saying? So I just believe in intentional prayer. I believe in never looking at things from a bad point of view, because somebody did not wake up today.
Man.
Somebody's not going to wake up tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody is going through something so bad right now that they can't even see
right
any lightness. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead. So many things, man. So many things. We're coming up on time. A lot. You gave us a lot to digest and a lot to think about. And we'll think about if we have you back on.
Yeah, man.
Hey, man.
We definitely appreciated you. This was one of the easiest hours. I think the hour really went. Yeah. Like, this was one of the this was one of the easiest interviews and easiest hours we've had. And then I know, on behalf of Nate and myself, we thank you for coming on.
I thank both of y'all.
And both of you. It is always a blessing and an honor just to be able to break bread and to be able to share wisdom with a brother like you. And anybody who, to me, you exude greatness. Anybody who's dedicated their life to speaking life into other people and to pouring life into other people and giving parts and pieces of who they are to others. That is greatness, and we just want you to know how much we love and appreciate you, my brother, and peace and blessings to you always.
Hey, thank you, and both you guys.
Yeah,
yeah. Before we do our closing stuff, you want to give information where they can reach you at? What's the best place for them to do that?
Okay, you can reach me at www.itsjustconvo.com. I'm also on Facebook. My name is Rodney K. Rowe, R-O-D-N-E-Y-K-A-R-O. And yeah, that those are, and even on the website, it'll say like, you know, Instagram and all of that other type of stuff. And yeah, that's where you can find me. If you guys just want to talk, I'm all about talking.
Awesome, awesome. Again, we want to thank those who continue to support the show, who continue to listen, who continue to send questions, comments, and suggestions. Again, for those who have questions for our guest or questions for Dr. Chapman or myself, you can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B, the number 2B, P-S-Y-C-H, at gmail.com, b2bpsych@gmail.com. Again, as always, we thank Marshall University. We thank WMUL 88.1 FM for giving this platform to talk about community issues, mental health issues, uplifting issues, giving us a platform again to bring on amazing guests, just like our brother Rodney Cairo, who can give us wisdom as well as it's pretty dope to highlight people who have dedicated themselves to speaking life into other people. And not only do these guests, you know, dedicate themselves to speaking life to other people, he's raising children who will follow in his path to do what he's doing. And that is most importantly, it's most important. Again, one of the most important things he's talked about is this idea of walking the walk, not just talking it, but walking it. So it's just a blessing to be able to get these jewels. As we always say, and as I always say, closing out, graveyards are full of regret and potential. All these things I should have done, I could have done, I would have done. And when you die, make sure that you anything to the grave with you, every book you want to write, everything you want to do, every dream that you have, everybody that you love, make sure that they know. Make sure the people that you love know that you love them. Make sure you chase every dream that you have. And by all means, make sure that you are doing something. Make sure you're doing something in this life that sets your soul on fire. And as always, Dr. Chapman will take us out.
Yeah, so many jewels today. So much for us to think about. I just want to thank again, Brother Rodney Carroll, for coming on. It's good to see you. Good to see where your life has come. And I mean, I feel like I've been saying this a lot with our guests, but, you know, I'm proud of where you're at, man. I feel like it feels like a brotherhood there, so I appreciate that. I guess when we're thinking about what we digest for today, I came up with six things that I think were highlighted as ingredients for greatness. One, I felt like in this story, you talked about not comparing yourself to others. And that's so important because you and I are not the same. Our fingerprints bear the proof of that. And so though we may use other people for models, remember you are the one and original in your type. And that also has to do with your gift. And if you're afraid about that, just remember that your gift will make room for you. It's not about competition and worrying about other people. The real people that create know how to collaborate. I guess the other thing has to do with confidence in yourself. And this may be harder based on the life you've lived, circumstances you came up against. You may have to really be the hype man to learn how to do that, because maybe you've been in an environment where you've been defeated. The other thing I would say is that the definition of greatness, I like the parts of it that I heard there, were giving others opportunities to grow, asking yourself, how are you using your gift to give others opportunities to grow? It doesn't have to look the same for each person. I believe each person's value can create that for others. And then I guess the other thing that I wanted to point out is sometimes you got to leave your space. You have to leave where you're currently at, mentally or physically, to get to the next level. And if you're toiling with this thing, like it's on your mind all the time, it won't go away. I think what was highlighted very nicely by Rodney is that dreams are not mistakes. They're there for a reason. Now, other people don't have to have your vision, but the reason you toil about it is because it is the baby that you need to give birth to. It's not going to be a stillborn. It's going to grow, but just like a baby, it has to develop over a period of time. So you wouldn't expect your little baby OG1, right? That's what just call your baby that. You wouldn't expect it that it comes out of the womb and it's already got a full vocabulary and it's talking, it's walking, and it's starting a business. You would let it grow, right? That's the same thing you got to do with your gift. So we wish you many blessings, and we'll see you next time.
This is the student broadcast voice of Marshall University, WMUL-FM, Huntington, West Virginia.